Farnsworth, E.W. Robinson, A.T. Starr, G.B. Palmer, E.R. Caro, E.R. Sharp. Crystal Springs, St. Helena, California, December 12, 1900. Dear Brethren, Farnsworth, Robinson, Starr, Palmer, Caro, and Sharp. We rejoice that good help has gone to you in Brother and Sister Cress, physicians who love the Lord and His truth. Also, with these precious physicians, we send you Brother and Sister Burden and Sister Burden's two sisters. We would have you consider that these are very beloved by the Lord. We would have you remember that the Lord knows what you need better than you know yourselves. But we do not have a thought that Brother and Sister Burden will not be heartily welcomed by you. I should have felt very much gratified to have had Brother Burden and his family remain in connection with the work in this country. But we know that you need them in Australia. All these workers whom we are sending you are to act a most unselfish part in the sanitarium that is going up in New South Wales. I have not lost one particle of my interest in the work in Australia. Had I done so, I would have used my influence to keep Brother and Sister Burden right here. Brother Burden's talent is needed in the sanitarium upon the hillside. We need just such help here as they could be to us. But you need just such a man in the sanitarium to work in connection with Brother Sharp and Dr. Caro. Brother Burden is an all-round man, and this is what is needed. Give him a chance to work. Do not try to make him agree with all the ideas and plans of others, but let the Lord work his servant. I tell you in the fear of God that we believe Brother Burden is just the man you need. Work with him harmoniously. Give Brother and Sister Burden your confidence. Counsel with them. Brother Burden is not a forward, intruding man. We have confidence in him. We know that in that new country he will be a helper upon whom you can depend. He will not be bought or sold. He will carry out right principles, and in your counsels, if asked, he will give advice. Last Sunday evening, we had a pleasant visit with Sister Farnsworth's two brothers. We believe that these men are capable of doing a good work. It is more of just such men that is our need in the cause. On Sabbath morning, I spoke in the sanitarium chapel, which was crowded with patients, nurses, doctors, and a number of others. God has given me much freedom in this chapel. Brother M. Cady acted as pastor. Since we have come to St. Helena, I have spoken about 10 times. 3 Sabbaths ago, we were in Healdsburg. I spoke on Sabbath and Sunday to a house full of people, believers and unbelievers. I cannot endure the heating of the house of worship, and I requested that no fire should be built in the stove, but the janitor forgot my request. I had been conversing with visitors all Sunday morning and felt illy prepared to speak in the afternoon. Sunday morning, I left Sister Bond's, where I was making my stay, and where visitors were seeking my counsel the whole time, and went to Brother McClure's for dinner. He, I thought, I would get a little rest. But I found there a Sister Hurlbut, who had come from Lake County, a distance of 50 miles, on business, and was very desirous of seeing me. She is the wife of a wealthy man in Lake County. As soon as I reached Brother McClure's, she commenced conversing with me. She said she wished me to come to her home in May. She is building a home for orphans, and her house would then be prepared to receive me. She said that as long as I chose to remain, I should have every convenience. Nothing much has been done in this part of California to advance and educate in regard to the truth. Sister Hurlbut's mother has just died, leaving a property to be used to advance the cause of God. Sister Hurlbut's husband is not a professed Christian, but he opposes his wife nothing. They have both given to the cause of God. She has taken orphans and brought them up. This seems to be the work for which she is adapted. She has been told that there is an oil mine on the estate which her mother has given to the cause. Well, I was much interested. I can see an opportunity for an opening in a new place. Lake County is a health resort, and there are certain seasons of the year when we can there reach a large number of people. We can tent out and perhaps hold a camp meeting. I shall go if I am not thoroughly used up before May. I can see light in some of these directions. In this conference, not half is being done that ought to be done in new territories. When I reached the Healdsburg meeting house, I found that the church was heated and the vitality of the air was being consumed, although I had publicly asked them not to build any fire. I forgot was the excuse offered. I was already exhausted, and I solicited the prayers of those who had faith, and the Lord strengthened me wonderfully. I talked for an hour and a half, and the attention of the people seemed riveted. I had no trouble. Strength was given, and I had great freedom. The rich current of the grace of God was imparted to me to impart to the hearers. Businessmen and ministers of other denominations were present. I received the outpouring of the Spirit of God. I had shortly passed my 73rd birthday, and I was thankful, so thankful, that the Lord gave me His Spirit in such large measure. After I had finished speaking, I was not at all weary, but was rested and refreshed. I rode about a mile and a half to Brother Mill's cottage. Oh, I felt so free and so happy. I was not the least weary, but was invigorated and vitalized by the Spirit of God. Then it was that I felt that I could go to Battle Creek and attend the conference there. But I did not say this at once. I believed that God would sustain me. I must meet the people at Battle Creek sometime, and the sooner the better. I felt an assurance that the Lord would heal my infirmities and sustain me through the effort made. Well, I have seen Dr. Kellogg and have had an interview with him. I think there is now a much better understanding and that the Lord will work out the whole matter. I wish to say that I am of good courage in the Lord. I remember you all in my prayers. My interest in Australia is not by any means dead. We think of you all, and we believe the Lord will help you to do His will. The Lord is ready to work for you in Australia. He is waiting for human agents to do His will intelligently, that they may help in every line as His missionaries, as minutemen. It is God's plan to solidly unite the ministry and the medical missionary work. The ministry is connected with the work of health reform as verily as the arm is connected with the body. Health reform is the helping hand of the ministry. Both were bound together in the work of the Lord Jesus. The one gives completeness to the other. We have a work to do for the sick churches before they can have a healthy Christianity. Two great systems of efficiency are blended in the human body. The circulatory system and the nervous system are combined. The heart is the reservoir of the circulatory system and the brain of the nerve system. From the blood, the food is assimilated by the body. Both agencies are ever at work. The food nourishes the whole man. Therefore, there is every need of wholesome food. But there is not the slightest call for the great variety of dishes which are nearly always on hand. Much time and labor might be saved in this matter. God does not design that our time should be so fully occupied in contriving dishes to suit the palate. God would have all of His people missionaries in every sense of the word. In this country in the fruit season, what an abundance of fruit there is of every description. Yet the variety of foods which are eaten at one meal often make a cesspool of the stomach. Let our people prepare their fruit to send to parts where there is no fruit. In this way, God's benevolence is to be acknowledged. Gather up the fragments. Let nothing be lost. Let our people in New South Wales send dried fruit to the workers in West Australia. This will be a great blessing to them. Let those who have an abundance of fruit eat it in its natural state. Good bread and fresh fruit will satisfy hunger and keep the system in a healthy condition. Let us all see if we cannot institute a reform in this matter of having so many varieties of food at one meal. We are trying it here. We have dried fruit and fresh apples. I am so thankful to God that when Adam lost his Eden home, the Lord did not cut off the supply of fruit. It is the cooking of such a variety of food that takes time and labor. Food, which in its natural state is good to eat, is rendered unwholesome by being mixed with other food. Think of this, and see if it will not bear testing. Save the poor, abused digestive organs from the burden imposed upon them. God prepared for Adam a most nourishing food. He knew how to give man the proper nourishment. May the Lord give us clear discernment to appreciate good food without spending time and labor in fixing it up in such a way that it is made harmful.
I must close now. I am writing by lamplight, without a fire. I cannot endure stove heat. You are all aware that the winter we are now passing through is the second one for us this year. This is our second series of short days. Thus cuts our working hours short. But we have abundance of evidence that we came to America at the right time. Had we remained until now, we might have succeeded in accomplishing more bookwork. We should have hurried Brother Burden and family to Australia, that we might have had the privilege of seeing him in the position he should occupy. But then, where would our home have been? Brother Burden can tell you all the particulars of this. The Lord arranged matters for his own name's glory and for our very best good. We have a good home and every convenience. We want to be among those who see in their experience a working out of the providence of God in the provision made for their advantage, and in the things of nature and art which meet their peculiar wants. The Lord ordered our way. He led us to this place at the right time. Everything seems to say that He has prepared this home for me. I praise His name, while at the same time I feel greatly humbled under a sense of His benevolence. I cannot doubt the goodness of His intentions toward us. I needed just this experience, and under the consideration of all that God has done for us, I have decided to trust Him fully and to go to Battle Creek to attend the conference. We supposed that the conference must be in Oakland, but then, because of the great expense, there are many who would not be able to attend. Many were feeling deeply disappointed because of this. I have written that I will go to Battle Creek, if need be, even at the coldest season of the year. Nevertheless, if the conference could convene 4 or even 6 weeks later, we should consider it a great favor, for we could then complete some books which have been needed for a long time in Australia and America. Until this week, we have not been so situated that we could work to advantage. We are now making a beginning. Sister Burnham has come from Oakland to help us for a few weeks. We have sent for Brother and Sister Drouillard to come, and we expect them. If the conference is held at Battle Creek, they may not think it advisable to cross the Rocky Mountains until after the conference. But I do not worry. The Lord has His good hand over me, and I will trust in Him. Oh, how I long for a just appreciation of God's great goodness and love! I praise the Lord, for I know He has been working out His own plan in His mercy and great goodness to me. It has come to me as a surprise, and I am greatly humbled under a sense of my favors as I see the Lord so manifestly working in my behalf. I cannot doubt. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise his holy name. Psalm 103, verse 1. In much love.